Chapter 6. Jonathan loses his passport. Corcoran continued to talk to Jonathan in the following days and slowly learned about him. First, he learned how Jonathan's parents had died when he was a child. Then Jonathan told him how he had gone into the army and had been a soldier in Ireland. After that, he had gone to college, where he learned to be a chef and had worked in hotel kitchens before going into the reception side of hotel work. This part of his story was all true. Then they talked about stealing the money at Meister's.
"The boss owed me money," said Jonathan. "I had worked many more hours than he had paid me for."
Corcoran asked him about Cornwall and Marilyn, and Jonathan explained how the Australian man had lied to him about selling a boat that he owned. Jonathan did not say what he had done with the body. Then they talked about the Chateau Babette. He did not say anything about Yvonne, but Corcoran knew about her and her father anyway. Then Jonathan explained that a friend had told him about Mama Lowe's restaurant and that it might be a good place to work for a while. The next morning, Roper flew back from Miami.
"The boss wants to see you," said Corcoran,
and Jonathan, who could walk now, followed him through large rooms that were filled with beautiful art and antique furniture. Finally, they came to a room so large that Jonathan felt as if he was falling. Through the tall windows, he could see a row of white tables with umbrellas, and behind them, the sea. In the middle of the room was a large desk that was covered with leather. Sitting next to it, dressed in white sailing shoes and a blue shirt, was the worst man in the world.
"Pine," said Roper. "Well done, very well done. And well done, money, for getting you well. That's what money is for. So, what was the worst bit?"
He stood up with his glasses on the end of his nose, took Jonathan's hand and looked at him closely. Jonathan lifted his shoulders. He could hear Pavarotti playing somewhere.
"When I was in hospital," he said.
"And what do you want to do now?" Roper asked.
"Go back to Mama Lowe's," replied Jonathan.
Roper laughed.
"I mean, what's your life plan? What do you want?"
"I haven't really got a plan. I'm travelling, taking time to relax and think."
"Rubbish," said Roper. "You don't know how to relax. Neither do I. I mean, cooking, boating, languages, some girl in Cairo, some girl in Cornwall, some girl in Canada, an Australian man dead. So why did you do it?"
Jonathan had forgotten how confident and charming Roper was.
"Do what?" he asked.
"Save Daniel," Roper replied.
"You kill a man one day and save my boy the next. You robbed Meister's. Why don't you rob me? Or ask me for money? I'll happily pay you anything you want. This is my boy we're talking about."
"I didn't do it for money," Jonathan replied, and he looked quickly at Roper and then at Corcoran, who smiled back at him.
"You've looked after me and been good to me. I'll just go."
"Did you know Freddie Hamid while you were in Cairo?" Roper asked suddenly. "He's a friend of mine. His family owns the hotel that you were working in."
"I knew his name," Jonathan replied. "I never met him."
"He had a girlfriend, Sophie. Did you ever meet her?"
"She had an apartment in the hotel. Everyone knew that she was Freddie Hamid's girlfriend," replied Jonathan carefully.
"She was killed."
"That's right. just before you left. Were you sleeping with her?
Roper's voice was still friendly.
Of course not, Jonathan said quickly.
Why, of course?
I'm not mad. Even if she wanted it, Hamid would kill me.
It wasn't you who killed her then?
Roper asked, and looked quickly at Corcoran. Corcoran was smiling.
No,
Jonathan replied.
Some people said that Freddy did it. She talked too much, they said.
Corky can't decide about you, you see,
Roper added, looking again at Corcoran, who had now stopped smiling.
He thinks there are things about you that we don't know, and that the police don't know. Have you killed anyone else? What about that man you punched to save Daniel? Have you ever seen him before? Did he often go to Mama Lowe's?
No.
You've never sailed for him, or cooked for him, or sold drugs for him or his friend?
Asked Roper.
No.
You see, we thought that maybe you'd started with them, that you were planning to rob us, and then you saw how rich I am, and you decided to change sides. Is that why you punched him so hard? Because you wanted me to think that you were a good boy?
That's rubbish, shouted Jonathan. And actually, that makes me very angry. You should take those words back.
But Roper did not seem to be listening.
Someone with your history, a strange name, running away from the police because he's wanted for murder and stealing. It would be easy to make a rich British man like you by saving his boy. Can you see what I'm saying?
I didn't know those men, said Jonathan. I've never seen them before.
Roper was quiet for a moment. Then he said,
Look, I want you to stay here for a while. Swim, get well. We'll decide what to do with you. We may even have a job for you.
I just want to go, Jonathan said politely.
He was not acting now. He'd had enough.
I need to be alone, he thought.
Why? Said Roper, looking confused. I'll pay you good money. You'll have a nice little cottage on the other side of the island. Horses, swimming, boats. You like those things. Anyway, what will you do for a passport if you go?
I'll use mine, Jonathan replied.
A cloud went over the sun.
Corky, tell him the bad news, said Roper.
Corcoran lifted his shoulders and smiled in a sorry way.
I cut it up, old love, he said. With all the police looking for you, I had to. That was my passport, shouted Jonathan.
Don't worry, Roper said calmly. We'll get you a new one.